Greetings and welcome to today's Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Radio Church program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. This is the 22nd of May, 2026, Friday. Without prophecy, there's no vision. Without prophecy, there is blindness. Programs are archived on website thispresenttruth.com, and my contact information is Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. The reason I present contact information in the website right out of the gate is because I generally will forget to later give you the website name, thispresenttruth.com. Also, I just forget to give information. So, it is important to have vision. I'm going to begin years ago in the best example in 1880s when the United States really, we were in the middle of an industrial revolution, but the corporations would make plans half a century out. 50 years into the future, 40 years, 30, 20 years, because they had vision, they had a view, they could see what was coming, they could see how things were developing in the industrial world. Electricity would come, would become a main part of American society, part of our infrastructure, development of oil, fuels, gas. Then you would have motorized vehicles, things of this nature, eventually aircraft, eventually rocket ships. And then we would have computers. I'll begin with Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Remember carefully the former things which I did from ages past. For I am God, there is no one else. I am God, there is no one like me. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not yet come to pass, saying, my purpose will be established, I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. Calling a bird of prey, a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my will from a far country. This I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass, I have planned it, be assured, I will do it. So God has declared the end from the beginning. From the beginning, he gave the world to come vision, a future. The corporations, they had vision. They could plan a decade, two, three, five, eight, a century into the future. That's not the case any longer. Presently, the world, we Christians especially, looking at the prophecies for the end of the world, the time before Christ returns, there is a swarm of prophecies occurring as I speak. We have the Gaza War, which is Psalm 83 conflict. It is the regional war that Israel fights in the region, countries directly in proximity. Then we have just begun the great Russian war with allies in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. I'm going to just give you reference to both of these conflicts. The Psalm 83 war, I've mentioned numerous times on previous programs, is a clear, detailed account of the Gaza war, which we call, the world calls the Gaza war. I don't call it that. I call it a regional war. In Psalm 83, it is with the nations, the enemies in the Gaza Strip, the terrorists in Lebanon, in Syria, in the region, and soon to be conflict with the nation of Israel and the nation of Jordan. It is a regional war. Jordan is mentioned as the sons of Lot, Ammon, and Moab, and the brother, the twin brother of Jacob, Esau. This conflict presently in the Middle East will escalate into the nation of Jordan. The Iran war, the conflict with the Russian war, began in February as the United States and Israel launched a skirmish, the beginning of a campaign against Iran. The fuse has already been lit, but eventually this war, in the press, they talk about this war being a endless war, a forever war. It's not. It is not a forever war. It has a beginning. It will have an end. It began in February. The fuse was lit. The end of this conflict will be when Russia and all the nations mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38, the armies are destroyed in the present day area of Jordan in Psalm 83. Israel will take this land to the north. Jordan is a long strip along the eastern border of Israel. Ammon to the north, Ammon Jordan, Moab in the middle, Esau to the south. Israel will eventually control the whole, all the real estate in the nation of Jordan. This is where the Ezekiel war will be fought, in the countryside, in a certain area, I believe down more toward the area of Moab. Most of the evangelical churches and the main churches in this country and worldwide, they're watching the conflict, but they don't see it in the Bible, because prophecy is not their strength. The ministries that have been specifically centered around prophecy, my ministry is centered around the prophetic word, because the vision of God's ministers has to be complete. It has to be, we can't have just the understanding of theology and all, everything that pertains to God as creator and father, to just doctrine, which Christ in the Gospels and the Apostles, they presented the, basically the body, the clear understanding of what Christ did at his death, what he did with his resurrection, and with the church age beginning, and the doctrines that through the parables, through Christ's teachings, which give the body of Christ and the world a solid foundation for the understanding of who God is and his plan and how to live in a world free from the effects of a contaminated, fallen, evil world. Then you have prophecy. If you're driving, you need to know where you're headed. You need to know how to get to your destination. And on the way to that destination, you will have signs, interstates, you'll have cities, you'll have everything you need to understand how to get to your destination. Well, we're coming, the world presently, we are about to, you might say, intersect a direction to intersect the greatest hardship in mankind's history, even greater than that that took place at the time of Noah with the flood. Prophecy gives us clear understanding of where we're going to end up. After that hard time, it says that Christ only can cause the evil in the world, the hardships, and the total destruction of all flesh. Only Christ can stop it. This is why prophecy is important. Christ said, if he doesn't return, no flesh will be saved. Through all of the prophets, most of the prophets gave direct insight into what would happen to the children of Israel as a people, the hardships they would go through, their relationship with their God, or maybe their falling away from their relationship with God. The prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah coming, and at the Messiah's coming, upon his death, he would open the doors to a new family. This is all recorded in the Old Testament. There would be a new family. There would be a new plan that God would have, not just for the Gentile people, but also it would continue to include the Jewish people. The Jewish people were never completely cut off or removed completely from God's plan. They were temporarily blinded. It's all in the Bible. Why God did this is to bring in a new family. And presently we have in the body of Christ Gentile and still Hebrew children. Everything is in the scripture, in the prophecies. The Psalm 83 conflict is about to end. It initially began by Asaph in Psalm 83 saying that, Lord, don't be silent, don't hold your peace, don't be still. Behold your enemies. And already back then, Asaph knew there would be enemies coming, instigate, concord crafty schemes against the children of Israel. They would conspire, this is in verse 3, against your precious ones. The Jewish people will always be precious to the Lord. He will punish those family members that are apostate, that are out of control. The enemies come, let us wipe them out as a nation. That is genocide. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's ethnic cleansing. These nations have conspired. These terrorist groups, these enemies in the region, have conspired against you, against God. They are peoples that worship idols, that worship other powers. They don't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They conspire against this God. Psalm chapter 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth will set themselves against Christ. They will rebel against him. That great rebellion is fulfilled at the Battle of Armageddon. The kings of the earth right now are in rebellion against God. They're in rebellion against Israel as a people, trying to eliminate them, against the Christian people internationally, and also these countries, these kings of the earth that set themselves against God's anointed, Christ. They also are trying to eliminate mankind from off the earth, those that don't know God, those that are not Jewish. This is all in the scripture. This is why prophecy is so vital. Also, in Psalm 83, all these nations along the Mediterranean to the west, in Lebanon, again, the three families in Jordan, some are related to the children of Israel, to ancient, like Esau, Jacob's twin brother, came out of the same womb. The children of Ishmael in the region, Hagar, her son, would intermarry with many of these peoples in the area. Ishmael would also be at war with Israel. Ishmael and the Esau's children, they would intermarry. They would intermarry with the ancient Philistinian people that came out of, I think it was Cyprus, and in that region. So this is the Psalm 83 war conflict. It's coming to an end. At the same time, when the city of Damascus is destroyed in Syria, this war in the Psalm 83 will be complete. Then we have the next great conflict, which is basically peoples from the Arctic all the way down to North Africa, in the Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 war. I'm going to do programs more specifically, because the conflict now in Iran is telling the Christian people, especially the Christian people, it is directed at the body of Christ, whether you be Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Anglican, Pentecostal, Messianic, wherever you are on the spectrum, in the Revelation chapter 1 list of seven lampstands, all of these prophecies are affecting not only the world, but we Christians also. These prophecies being fulfilled, they are just so intricate, so revealing as to what God is doing with the world, with Israel, with the body of Christ, with the nations, the kings, the presidents, the prime ministers of the nations, with the societies of the world. In Luke and in Matthew, there would be civil war. We are at a point in America where we are basically close to it. You look at what's happening in England, in France, in Germany, with the immigration matter. It's in the Bible. America would be invaded by aliens, both spiritual beings and illegal people coming from the nations. This is all in prophecy. Without prophecy, you are blind. Without to poo-poo prophecy is to poo-poo Christ himself, to basically say you don't want what he has put in his word, what he has stated through his prophets via the Old Testament, through his apostles in the New Testament, and what he stated personally to his children in all the lampstands. All of the lampstands, very clear, because prophecy also is very clear on anti-Semitism in the time in which we live. It's clear on the satanic forces, the gates that will be open to allow satanic forces into the world to deceive people, to blind people, and the attack. Yes, mankind as a whole, but more so directed at the body of Christ, because it's the body of Christ that has the authority through the name of Christ to fight and to engage with these demonic forces, casting out spirits, breaking the power of the covering of blindness on the eyes of people. There would be a veil or a covering on the eyes of mankind in general, but especially on the body of Christ. In Isaiah chapter, think it's 25, verse 7. This is out of the Expanded Bible. Verse 7. On this mountain, God will destroy, swallow the veil, the shroud, the covering that covers all nations, the veil of sheet that stretches over all people. And this is a reference to death. Death has been a something that mankind has feared, and it brings about a covering and a veil. At the time that there was the fall in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God by deciding to eat of that forbidden tree, at that point, they not only began, death entered in, they would die physically, but at the same time, it affected them in their mind, in their emotion, and their will. It brought a veil, it brought a covering, it was a shroud that covered them mentally, so that they would, and that mankind would not be able to see clearly like they could see prior to the fall. In the time in which we live, there is a spirit over the world. Death has affected every person's mind. You don't think like you could have in the Garden of Eden. We are using maybe 3% or less of our abilities mentally. Even if you had, if you could use 50%, still there is death that is a veil, that is a covering, that is a shroud, that it's a sheet that blinds mankind from seeing what they should see spiritually, especially spiritually. And this spirit that has gone out is affecting the Christian people more than the Jewish or the nations of the world. The threat to the kingdom of darkness is the body of Christ, not the world, not Israel. Israel is in blindness, according to the Apostle Paul. They are in blindness to this day. God will take that blindness, lift it off of their eyes at his return, but not until then. Presently, the whole world has this covering over their mind. I have to emphasize this. It is stated that it takes seven, repeating doing a task seven times, or reading things roughly seven times to trigger the long-term memory. This is why ministries are always in a cycle, working, giving, bringing scriptures on faith, on salvation, on whatever the pastor, I know where I was in the fellowship that I was in, we would spend time just on the verses concerning faith to make sure our faith was what it needed to be. Then we would spend time on life. To understand God, you have to understand life. If you don't understand life, you don't understand God, because God is life. Then we would study righteousness, because if you don't understand what righteousness is, you can't be right with God. And without faith, you can't be right. You can't be righteous. And then we would talk about redemption, why we were redeemed. We weren't redeemed just to go into eternity. We were redeemed into a farm, into a work. We are people who should be busy in the things of God. So that's the pattern I'm trying to repeat to you or explain to you. We repeat things I do over and over repetitively because our minds are fallen, are broken. This is the importance of prophecy. If you don't know what's coming, you won't prepare. If you don't understand where we've been, you don't know where you are presently. You don't know why you are where you are. I'm trying not to deviate, but I'm going to. The baby boom generation children of the United States of America, we are in the Bible. We are a generation of children that a generation like the world has never seen. 3 years later, 4 years later, when Israel becomes a nation, they also would have their baby boom generation in Israel. Out of the baby boom generation in the United States of America, the Antichrist would come. The false prophet would come. The greatest technology ever in mankind's history would come. It would be through the baby boom generation children. Apple computer, Microsoft. I can go on and on and on. We are in the Bible. The American evangelical, the baby boom generation would be a target of the devil. The devil would try to destroy the young men that were born after World War II up to about 1963. The objective is to destroy a plan that God had for the time in which we live. In the baby boom generation, there would be a visit by God Himself. I'm trying not to, I want to keep this for a separate program, but I'm going to do it again. I'll talk about it at a later date. But right now, with the baby boom generation, God had He targeted this generation in the United States of America because we are a nation with all seven of the lampstands in Revelation chapter 1 in one society. The Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, Episcopalians, the Greek churches, the evangelical churches. We are, the Church of Laodicea is here, evangelical Christianity. Thyatira, the fourth church, Catholic Church. Fifth church, Sardis, the Lutheran Church. We have the Philadelphia Church, which are the great, great scholars that came out of the teachings of Europe in the Church of Philadelphia with the great men and in Western Europe that studied the scripture back in the from 1800 roughly to the turn of the century, 1901. Then you have the churches of Ephesus. The Ephesus, these are the men that study specifically the time of the church around Christ and the first 2 and 3 centuries. Then you would have Smyrna, the suffering church. You have Christians in this country that are suffering persecution by church members. Smyrna is in the world again today. You look at the nations in Islamic countries. These Christians are Smyrna. They are the suffering church in China, third world nations. These are the God's children in Smyrna. Then, out of this group of Christian people, out of the group of the baby boom generation people, God would visit the children in all 7 of these lampstands in the United States. How would he visit them? He would visit them by opening the heavens and allowing his Holy Spirit to baptize this group of people with his Holy Spirit beginning in 1960. Beginning in 1960, he began to baptize youth, male, female, black, white, educated, non-educated, wealthy, poor, middle class, and he would visit the children of Israel, the Jewish people that would get saved in the time of the baby boom generation, 16-year period of time where the heavens were open to America. It happened in this country. It began with John F. Kennedy. It ended with Jimmy Carter. During that 16 years, the effect of the Holy Spirit on the baby boom generation children was unbelievable. It was a worldwide phenomena. The whole world watched it. The whole world was perplexed by it. Our government wanted to stop it. The great church leader or the men in the religious systems of this country wanted to stop it. The society wanted to stop it. But no one wanted to stop it more so than the devil himself. Satan himself wanted to end it. What was Satan's plan? What was his strategy? What was it that he decided to do to push back? The baby boom generation children were hit immediately with the occult, with Satanism. Anton LaVey, 1966, The Satanic Bible. The New Age movement, all of the Beatles coming, bringing Indian Hinduism, Indian mystic religions to this country. You had Buddhism, you had all the kingdom of the cults. There was a book written by Walter Martin, The Kingdom of the Cults at that time. Satan brought in a drug culture that still to this day has affected the minds of everyone from the 60s to the present. Then you had freedom, sexual revolution. Now, this one is going to make everybody mad. And feminism. The feminist movement exploded. And where did the... What was the satanic plan directed at women in the body of Christ? And what was the plan directed at the churches in this country. What was the plan? Feminism. But by the objective was to bring feminism and movements into the body of Christ to strengthen and empower women in maybe the assemblies to assert their female rights. I was in a movement. I was in the churches that I was in starting in 1974. I noticed, not being, I had been born again for 2.5 years, but I had never been churched. And in the fellowship that I was a part of, we were very, very structured, which was absolutely fantastic. Everything concerning, you know, salvation to baptism, all of the experiences that are necessary for the believer, knowing that you're born again, being baptized, being schooled with good, sound teaching, understanding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, understanding redemption. I need to stop. So I noticed that all of a sudden, in the assemblies, women, some of the sisters in the fellowship, they began to, I don't know how you would phrase it, they were empowered. They were empowered to basically assert their, I don't know what's the word. I would see these sisters just, they were bold. It was not spiritual. It was something other than that. I didn't understand a Jezebel spirit. I didn't know what that spirit was. But it is a spirit that will not be subjected to authority. They don't want to be subject to authority, not subjected, to subject themselves to authority. They don't feel they needed to be subject to authority. They felt they were equal with the other brothers and men and ministers and elders in the fellowship. They felt that they were being affected by the feminist movement. It was sneaking in. You look at today, these women in the pulpit, they have been empowered by a spirit. It is a Jezebel spirit. It is the exact same attitude that Ahab's wife had. Powerful. You could not threaten her. You could not do anything that would challenge her. And you look at the society of women today. You look at the disrespect toward the police, toward their husbands, toward authority of any kind. You look at what has empowered these activists in this country. Who are the most in your face, the men or the women? The majority is the women. I saw this happening. This was Satan's attack on the children that would be born again, the young people born again in the baby boom generation period, 1960 to 1976. After that time, and during that period of time, this government was involved in trying to break the momentum that Christ that Jesus himself was having and the effect that he was having on these people who were free, who were bold, who were taking the knowledge of Christ to their workplace, to the college, to their friends, to their family, the Jewish people that met the Lord, taking Christ, the Ark of the Covenant, to the Jewish families, and they were being cut off. They weren't recognized as even existing. Taking the Ark of the Covenant, Jesus Christ himself, the one who stands on the propitiation seat to be the mediator between God and man, taking this wonderful person to the Jewish people in the East Coast, especially all over the country. This is why prophecy is important. You don't think that the baby boom generation children was in the that this generation was in the Bible? I'll read it to you. I have to throw this in real quick. In Psalm 83, at the end, it says that God is trying to reach these people in the conflict in the region around Israel. He's trying to reach them so that they will know that he is God, that he can appear to them, reveal himself to them, and show them that their idols and the gods that they worshiped and the religions that lead them away from God are why they have to be punished. And many will get saved, especially the ones protected will be the children and the mothers. The others will be punished. Now, this is Psalm 24:6. Actually, the whole chapter 24 of Psalms. I am watching just as a side note, I'm watching this conflict in the Middle East. I am really trying not to believe that the Russian war will take place this year. I'm doing everything I can to dismiss what I'm seeing. I am watching what's happening when Donald Trump, our president, went to Beijing. There was a threat of war by Beijing, by Xi Jinping, I'll talk about. But basically, Thucydides' trap. This was a threat by Xi Jinping telling the United States, we are an emerging country, don't get in our way. In other words, we are going to replace the United States as the hegemonic power in the world. This, I'm trying to dismiss the thought that the Russian war will take place this year. If it takes place this year, right after that war, the tribulation will begin. Secondly, with Xi Jinping meeting with Vladimir Putin immediately after Donald Trump's visit to Beijing, they have just declared as of last night, this is Friday, this is the 22nd, last night on Thursday the 21st, Russia and China are going to push and begin conflict with the hegemonic rule of the United States and Israel. So there's going to be conflict. Okay, I just want to throw that in. Psalm 24 is speaking about the time, is speaking of one generation, just one generation in all of mankind's history, one generation. There will be only a generation. I'm emphasizing one. It's never happened before to this time until after World War II. This had never happened. Verse 6. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. It says, there, in some translation, it says, there is a generation, one generation. It's a description of a generation of children, of people, who diligently seek him, and require him as their greatest need. There is a generation that seeks thy face, O God, the God of Jacob. There is a generation who seek your face. Even as Jacob sought your face, there would be one generation in mankind's history. That generation began in 1960 in the United States of America with the beginning of the Jesus Movement. The Jesus Movement. The Jesus people. We just had a movie come out about a year ago about the Jesus Movement in America. It was good. It wasn't the best. It wasn't complete. It was a depiction of what really happened. But what King David is saying is this: there's going to be one generation that will seek desperately the face of the God of Jacob, the true God of the Scriptures. And that generation began in 1960 in the United States of America. Christian people, because they have no vision, they don't understand prophecy, the pastors of the land are responsible, many of them, for turning the ship away from what is the most important part of the Scripture to Christ Himself. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, turning God's children, Christ's children, away from Him, the brothers of Christ, turning them and removing them and basically poo-pooing, belittling, make little of unimportant-ing prophecy. These pastors, at this point, through my years, I have, from the time that I received this revelation in 1980, that America was in the Bible, 1980, late 80, early 81, I have been faithful because the Lord has given me His sovereignty. When I would meet with all these pastors throughout the years, I would always make known to them, my position is the United States of America is in the Bible. King David says there's going to be one generation that seek the face of the God of Jacob. And it was in the church, in the body of Christ, in the United States of America, with all, a nation with all seven churches being represented in one country that are benefiting from freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and from the greatest blessing of any nation financially ever in the history of mankind, with the greatest blessed technology ever in the history of mankind, with the best education system ever in the history of mankind, the best colleges, the universities, the best of everything. It would be in the United States of America. So for this listening audience, if your pastors cannot see, if they're so blind because of the covering and the sheet and the veil over their minds spiritually, then you need to bounce. You need to gravitate away from their ministries, and you need to study on your own. Prophecy gives you clearly an understanding of what's coming so that your wealth or your poverty either will be used wisely to help you in this time. Most Christians, I will say, that with a clear understanding of where we are in time, it will cause you to begin to spiritually settle. I'm trying to think of a good example. you will seek the counsel of the Lord like you've never, ever sought His counsel. Like in the Proverbs, there are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. Your heart is full of decisions, of plans, of desires, just loaded up with things that you don't even realize are there. But the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. There are many desires, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. I remember all through my life, because I knew eventually there would come, I felt that something special about being in the baby boom generation, the best music, the best in entertainment. I don't have time. I'm running short of time. The prophecies in the Bible. If you want to see who God is and Christ is, and if you want to see the Godhead, if you want to see, if you want to understand why you're living at this time, you need to study prophecy. It will be an anchor. It will not only be an anchor, it will be a compass. It will be a barometer. It will only bless you. This is why in the book of Revelation, blessed is he that reads and keeps and hears the things that are written herein. You'll be blessed. The book of Revelation is condensed. It's like Ezekiel bread, or it's like these very condensed nutrients in the Bible, the oils. It will bless you. With my time, the prophecies, I really am trying to desperately not believe that the Russian war is going to take place at the end of this summer. I am trying to think it away. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. I am desperately hoping that this cannot be the case. But I'm watching events. I know the scripture. I've been sitting on 50-50. Yes, it will. No, it won't. Yes, it will. No, it won't. Back and forth. I'm getting beat up. But I'm looking at what is happening with Trump going to Beijing, with Putin and Xi meeting just days after. I'm watching what's happening in Iran. Iran, this is a spirit. This is a spiritual matter. This is not a government. This is within a government, a religion that is unrelenting. It is one of the great deceptions of the last plus 1,000 plus years, 1,500 years. It's a new religion. It's not old. It is still relatively new. The Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, all these new on this latest religions, they're new. But Moses was ancient. Isaiah declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man who executes my will from a far country. I have stated it. As I have stated it, it will happen. Nothing can stop it. We can't stop Armageddon. At this Beijing conference with Trump, when Xi Jinping mentioned this Thucydides trap, I knew this triggered the beginning of the movement of the Asian sisters that lead to Armageddon. If this is true, if the Russian war takes place with the comrades, takes place, all these other nations, if it occurs this late this summer, early fall, the tribulation is, I can just smell it, tribulation. And then 7 years after the Russian war, 7 years later, in that vicinity, Armageddon. China has stated they are an emerging country, an emerging power. They're not going to be stopped. And they're saying, Xi Jinping was basically saying, as we continue to develop and we continue to emerge and become same status and then eventually move beyond your power, don't have any conflict. America, just accept it. Just accept it. Don't have a war. It's time for a regime change, or not a regime change. It's time for the hegemonic, the world's hegemon to move and let the new world hegemon take its rightful place. So I'll continue in the next program, but again, without prophecy, you are blind. Without prophecy, you're not going to make correct plans, decisions, take the right directions. Example, for the young married couples, I would suggest you really pray about having children or not having children. For you young men and women, at the end of this year, you're going to volunteer involuntarily. You're going to, once again, without even having to do a thing, you will be put in a draft system. We cannot stop it. We cannot stop the wars that are coming. Tell your friends, tell the people that you love. Continue to tune in. Very shortly, God willing, I'm going to have a Rumble site. Support me in the future. There's one generation that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. We churches, all seven churches, all the lampstands in one nation, consolidated in one kingdom, the kingdom of the beast, the coming kingdom of the beast, all seven lampstands, the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, I'll go through it again if you want. In one nation, here we are. And the baby boom generation, the Spirit of God moved on all seven of the lampstands in one consolidated country, one area, one nation, one great, great, unbelievable nation. And we are going to become even greater. And Donald Trump, this president, is in the Bible, and he is setting the table for the final administration of this country. That's his duty. God has given that, put that in his hand. He's doing it, and there's nothing we can do about it. With AI, he's the one setting the table for the coming administration. I'll continue in the next program. But podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com to the Olive Tree and Lampstand section. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Lord Jesus, I pray and I ask for this, the people in this audience. I ask you, Lord, to lift the veil, the covering, the shroud off of their eyes. I pray, Father, I pray, help them to be the great army that is now here. Bye.